news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
One thing you can say about Donald Trump, he's consistently inconsistent. On Sunday, the Orange One tweeted, quote, "What is the purpose of having White House news conferences when the lamestream media asks nothing but hostile questions and then refuses to report the truth or facts accurately? They get record ratings and the American people get nothing but fake news. Not worth the time and effort."
Okay. So after a weekend away from the podium, on Monday morning, there was an afternoon briefing on the schedule. Then it was canceled, and then it was back on again. Despite the many stories about White House advisors wanting to scale back the briefings and Trump's time in front of the microphones, he defiantly stood front and center Monday afternoon, gaslighting with an even greater intensity than before.
"The governors are as thrilled as they can be, considering that the fact is that there has been so much unnecessary death in this country. It could have been stopped, and it could have been stopped short, but somebody a long time ago, it seems, decided not to do it that way, and the whole world is suffering because of it. I built, they were just telling me inside, and it's fact, I built the greatest economy in the history of the world. And one day, because of something that should have never been allowed to happen, we had to close our country, we had to close our economy. I built it."
Following the briefing, on MSNBC, Stephanie Ruhle played fact checker.
"It was very tough, at least for me, to hear the president keep talking about the retail industry, because the retail industry is among the worst hit. There are 47 million people employed in retail. They're hemorrhaging jobs. They're hemorrhaging money right now. Retail industry pays $20 billion a month in rent. And I assure you, anyone involved in retail watching the president was praying he was going to talk about some sort of national rent relief. And he mentioned PPP. This is the most important program for the 30 million small businesses in America, most of whom were shut out of the first tranche of it. The second tranche, over $300 billion, went online today, and I can tell you it was disastrous, the execution. The president said, I put this squarely on the banks. I got to tell you, I spent my entire day talking to people who couldn't get on the system and the banks. And you know what happened with the system? It broke down. It has been an absolute failure. And every day that these small businesses don't get money, we are closer to them going out of business. And I'll make one more point. The president continues, as he attacks China, to say, but guess what? We brought in billions of dollars in tariffs from China, and that money went to help the farmers in trouble. That is a flat-out lie."
The White House used Monday's briefing to introduce new guidelines on coronavirus testing, but they fall short of the level recommended by the nation's top disease experts. The goal of the initiative is to help each state reach the ability to test at least 2% of its residents, with a focus on vulnerable populations and emergency workers. But experts have said the U.S. should be testing millions of people each day in order for the country to start getting back on its feet. The plan also puts the bulk of the testing responsibility on states rather than the federal government, even though states have said they need help getting enough tests. And on Monday, Donald Trump proved he really doesn't care what the experts say.
"Dr. Anthony Fauci says that we need to increase testing by double it at least, and so does the Rockefeller Foundation. When are we going to be doubling testing?"
"Well, it doesn't really matter what they say there, and we just left him. We just had a meeting. Now, there are big believers in testing, and then there are some governors that don't feel as strongly about it at all. You understand that. They feel much differently about it. But we're going with maximum testing because it's something we're very capable of doing."
Also on Monday, the second round of funding from the now refilled Paycheck Protection Program began as companies went on the website to apply for the newly released $310 billion now available in loans for small businesses. But technical problems kept most of them from being able to proceed, prompting comparisons to the disastrous launch of the healthcare.gov website almost a decade ago, and complaints from some very frustrated bankers. Adding to the problems was the revelation that the Los Angeles Lakers received nearly $5 million from the PPP before deciding to return the funds. The Lakers franchise is valued at roughly $4 billion, raising more concerns that funds intended for struggling small businesses were going to major companies and corporations that have access to plenty of capital.
From the derelict in his duties department, the Washington Post reported Monday that Donald Trump, in January and February, received more than a dozen classified briefings from U.S. intelligence agencies warning about the potentially devastating political and economic fallout from COVID-19. The information about the spread of the virus was presented in the president's daily briefing. For weeks, the PDB traced the virus's spread around the globe, made clear that China was suppressing information about the contagion's transmittability and lethal toll, and raised the prospect of dire political and economic consequences. But, writes the Post, quote, the alarms appear to have failed to register with the president, who routinely skips reading the PDB and has shown little patience for even the oral summary he takes two or three times a week. And as for those numbers, as of Tuesday morning, the U.S. is now reporting over 1 million people here have tested positive for the COVID-19 coronavirus, and the death toll now tops 56,000 lives lost. But the Washington Post is now reporting that the U.S. recorded about 15,000 more deaths than normal during the early weeks of the epidemic. The excess deaths were nearly double the 8,128 coronavirus deaths reported during March and through April 4th. The research did not conclude that the deaths were all directly attributable to the coronavirus. Some could have been people who died because they were reluctant to seek medical care for other illnesses due to the outbreak. But the Post said that the high number of deaths compared to typical figures for the same period provided a better picture of the overall impact of the pandemic. Both houses of Congress will return to Washington, D.C. on Monday, begging the question of how you practice social distancing and stay safe when hundreds of people will flock to the Capitol next week. Besides the obvious questions about safety in the most populous institution in Washington, there are other concerns. For example, last week, most Republicans declined to wear masks on the House floor. One of the topics they'll take up first is a fifth coronavirus response bill, with Democrats still trying to get aid to state and local governments whose budgets have been decimated. Although the Republicans have blocked that effort, on Monday night, the Fed put $500 billion in loans for states and cities into play. So this happened. New York election officials on Monday voted to remove Bernie Sanders and 9 other presidential candidates from the New York ballot, using a new measure in state law allowing them to do so if a candidate publicly suspends his campaign, thereby effectively canceling the state's Democratic presidential primary. Sanders had hoped to continue picking up delegates in the remaining contests to give him more influence over the party's platform. Sanders harshly criticized the decision to make New York the first state to cancel its primary, calling it an outrage and a blow to American democracy. Governor Andrew Cuomo had already delayed the primary from April to June due to the pandemic. And finally, new developments in the case of Tara Reid. She's the former Joe Biden aide who accused the then senator of sexual assault in 1993. Now, a former neighbor told Business Insider that Reid told her about the allegation in 1995 or 96. The former neighbor, Linda LaCasse, said, quote, she was crying, she was upset, and the more she talked about it, the more she started crying. I remember saying that she needed to file a police report. And a former colleague who worked with Reid in the California State Senate said Reid complained to her about mistreatment by her former employer, though the woman said she didn't recall if Reid revealed details. Biden's communications director, Kate Benenfield, said women have a right to tell their story, but, quote, these allegations are false. Quite a different attitude than Democrats took in the case of Christine Blasey Ford and her accusations against now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Just saying. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. And while you're there, please click on that donate button.